You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 2.
Hour 2 Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app. Online, tsn1050.ca, soon to be up on TSN 4. It's Brian Hayes, Jamie Noodles, McLennan. The O-Dog's not here today. We don't know exactly where the O-Dog is.
Just missing in action.
MIA.
MIA. It's all right, though.
Could be a personal day. I guess that's what we'll label it, a personal day.
He's not the best color man in the league for nothing, folks.
Yeah, he's basically, is it Morty?
Yeah.
Is that what it is? He's Morty from Major League. He even could be here. I mean, he's had days where he's physically here, but mentally he's not.
Just gone, checked out.
So, anyway, Ray Ferraro will join us in a few moments. Ray is in Vancouver where the NHL draft is going to be this weekend.
Yeah.
Jerry's percentages at around 5:30.
You know, because there's no, I mean, the Blue Jays were on and I was kind of all over, but because there's not a lot of sports on that you got to track, I got caught down a Seinfeld rabbit hole last night. Rare. Like you start flicking around. Now there's some shows I'm trying to get caught up on Netflix and, you know, Prime and iTunes, but I'm watching this Seinfeld last night and it's Morty Seinfeld trying to, he got impeached off the board in Florida.
Oh yeah.
In Del Boca Vista or whatever. I you forget half of these episodes.
Well, you're the beauty laughing. Of Seinfeld was every individual character had their own plot within the episode. You know, and I've been in those same rabbit holes before. And when you try to explain an episode to someone, they may be thinking of a different plot within the same episode.
Exactly.
And that, I think, is the beauty of the show, is not how, you know, well, it's so well written and the characters are incredible and the humor that comes with it. But within an individual episode, like the truly great episodes, you could say my favorite part was what Jerry was up to, what Elaine was up to, Kramer, and they're all different, but they all come together.
Yeah, they tie it together at the end.
It's the best.
Still my favorite of all time.
Favorite show of all time?
Favorite Seinfeld show of all time. But my favorite Seinfeld is my number one.
Yep.
Always will be. But my favorite Seinfeld episode is when George is the hand model. And he has
Ray
to wear
gloves. The great Ray Kegney. He fell in love with his own hands.
But the line with the George and it was a George Estelle. What are the parents' names? Frank and Estelle,
yeah.
He like snaps on the wife. He's like, you put bananas in the jello. George likes it. Like that episode I can watch 100 times.
Well, not there's a perfect example of an unbelievable episode. Because you know what else took place in that episode?
What?
That was the Low Talker. And the pirate shirt. Same episode. Because remember, at the end, he walks in, he goes, what the hell are you wearing that shirt for? And then she pushes him into the iron.
That's right.
And his hand career is over.
I forgot about that.
It's a perfect example of what we were just talking about.
Yeah, because I never even tied them together, that it was the puffy shirt.
Your favorite part of that episode was George and Frank and Estelle, where other people would be like, oh, it's got to be Jerry on the Today Show with the puffy shirt.
Remember, Elaine was like, You are here for the homeless or the homeless.
Yeah.
And you're wearing a shirt like that.
You look like you're going to come storming in on a chandelier. The thing is, if people are listening and they have never watched Seinfeld,
then you
just have no idea what we're talking about.
I think for the most part, people have watched Seinfeld.
I think people have an appreciation for a great show. Like I've never seen Breaking Bad, but I appreciate that it's a great show and people loved it.
Yeah.
So if I were to hear people that were passionate about it talk about it, I still think I would find it engaging, even though I would miss out on certain elements.
Well, and there's a spinoff, that Better Call Saul. Like it's
which, again, I've never seen that.
It is one of the fantastic shows. And if you had to do like a breakdown, like top 10 shows, every Sopranos would be there, The Wire would be there, Breaking Bad, in my opinion. I know Game of Thrones probably could be one. But there, you know, Homeland, there's some fantastic, I guess, stories out there, or fantastic series.
Oh, there's so many great shows.
But you got Ray
Donovan.
Can't
possibly
watch
them all.
I love Ray Donovan.
Never seen Ray Donovan either.
Pretty good.
Yeah, there's a bunch. I've never seen Lost. Everyone's like, Lost is so great. Never
saw
it.
Lost actually lost me.
Look at you with the puns.
I know, but it got ridiculous near the end. That's why.
That's what I heard. There was a big drop off in season 5 or whatever.
Yeah, it got ridiculous near the end.
Yeah. Anyway, Ray's coming up in a moment. I guess, what is he, parking his car again, Grappler? Like, where is this guy? waiting for valet again in Vancouver.
Well, Vancouver,
yeah, probably something like
Vancouver's going to be interesting. Like, it's obviously with the draft there, and there's going to be a lot of news. Like, just the, you know, the Carlson, Kevin Hayes, all of that, but like Trouba trade, I think I've got a feeling that all hell's going to break loose because expansion's right around the corner.
Yep, 2 years away. Expansion.
And so the draft, like, you know, I believe is going to be, is it next summer or 2 summers from now? It's next summer. You're carving a team out.
Yeah, I can't remember which one it is.
But teams are looking, like, I was just reading Kevin Hayes' contract is, he's got, it's expansion protected, and he's got like a 12-team no-move clause. Ron Hextall never gave out no-move clauses. Now, Chuck Fletcher's
doing it. Yeah, for the first 3 years. That is not by mistake.
Right.
Like that's I'm in Philly, and I'm protected.
I'm here, and I'm protected. So I get it, and good on Kevin Hayes. The deal doesn't look great. It may not even look great this year, unless if he goes and scores 25, 28, gets some. If he plays with Claude Giroux or plays with Voracek, who's a terrific passer, like, this guy could catch lightning in a bottle.
He can play. Kevin Hayes can play.
Yeah, he's
but
not
on,
a schlub.
On a large majority of the teams in the league, he's a third-line player.
Correct.
And a third-line player getting 7 years of security at $7 million.
Very rich.
Is very rich.
Very rich.
Edmonton is a team that a lot of people are focused on. I mean, now it's come out today. It's official. Jesse Puljujärvi wants out. And correct me if I'm wrong, because this might be hot takey.
Yeah,
I will.
No, I want to hear this disclaimer. Well, and you know, like as you know, I watched all 82 games of the Leafs last year, Montreal, Winnipeg, Calgary, and Edmonton. Like most of the Canadian teams, I watched every one of their games.
Okay, you tell me if this is volcanic,
okay,
or room temperature, or somewhere in between. Jesse Puljujärvi is a bigger bust than Neil Yakupov. In Edmonton.
Well, Yakupov was first overall.
I know that. Weak draft. Remember Puljujärvi, though, the buzz? He won the gold with Finland.
Yeah.
Him and Laine. They were shocked he dropped to 4.
Because it was Dubois that went ahead of him.
Dubois.
And we were all saying that.
We couldn't believe it.
That, drawing a blank, Columbus GM.
Kekalainen. Did passed on the Finnish guy.
But to me, that was, we were there. Giant red flag.
Right. How does the Finnish GM pass on the Finnish phenom in Jesse Puljujärvi?
Because Kekalainen's background is scouting. You know that he would have been able to dig up everything
he
on
made
Puljujärvi.
The right pick. Pierre-Luc Dubois was clearly
and
the better player.
He's a fantastic player. Puljujärvi, this is on the player and this is on the organization. They force-fed him into the National Hockey League at 18, where you should have put him down. At 19, they sent him down. And then last year, when they finally realized he should be in the minors, he went down there, and then Hitch tried to play the hero role and said, get him up here, I'm going to make him a player.
Yep.
I'll say this. Between Todd McLellan and Ken Hitchcock, that's 2,500 games of coaching experience. They're both fantastic coaches. Neither one of them had use for Jesse Puljujärvi.
Couldn't find a way to make him work.
So
a lot of it's on the player.
It's on the player. It's on the organization for not placing him in the right situation, and that would have been in the minors to play and grow.
Absolutely.
So both of them have blood on their hands, but him wanting out, what's the marketplace for him? Like, that's what team is going, okay, hands up here, he's in our top six tomorrow.
I guess that's where the Yakupov comparison comes into play. Yakupov will probably go down in history as a bigger bust because he went first overall. But he had a better rookie year than Puljujärvi's ever had.
Well, Yakupov scored 17 one year, I believe. I'm just checking.
It was
right
a lockout
now.
Year.
It was his first year. He had 17 goals in 48 games his first year.
Right. He came out of the gate and people were thinking, okay, that'll work. Puljujärvi
had
no point.
Yeah.
At no point have you said, there's the guy we all heard the hype about. That's the guy we've been waiting for.
Yep.
And listen, he's got the right to do it, but man, I don't see how he's got a leg to stand on to demand anything in this league.
He does it.
Because you're right. There will be a team that will take him, just like there was a team that took Yakupov, because he's still 21 or 22 years old.
Exactly.
He's still got the talent. It's can you make it work?
Well, Puljujärvi, I believe, is 20. I'm going to check it. Yeah, sorry, he's 21. Just turned 21 in May.
Like, but you're walking into it. I would think the other teams are like, we'll take him. We'll take him. But we're not paying you a premium. Like, they're not going to get a big price.
If Ken Holland could get a first rounder for him tomorrow, would he do it?
Of course he would. But I don't think you're getting a first rounder for Puljujärvi, do you? I don't think so.
I don't think he had scored 12 goals in 65 games as a 19-year-old.
I just haven't seen it at any point in his career.
And I think, like I said, the blame is on both sides. The Oilers should have put him in the AHL and allowed him to grow. And then the player, like I say, I think Todd McLellan is a fantastic coach. I think Hitch was a fantastic coach. Neither one of them found use for him.
Couldn't make it work. Joining us down the Maple Toyota hotline, here's Ray Ferraro. Ray, I just threw this out, and you tell me if it's a volcanic hot take. Is it a room temperature hot take? Simply from the scope of Edmonton, just looking at it in the market of Edmonton, bigger bust, Nail Yakupov or Jesse Puljujärvi?
I'm going to go room temperature only because the book's not finished on Puljujärvi.
Okay. Right.
Like that, there's still a chance that the guy that people were ready to draft at, you know, had kind of locked in at number three in the draft till Dubois got taken by Columbus. There's a chance that that's still there with Yakupov, as we have all described. I mean, it looked like he's been chased by bees back to Russia.
The beekeeper.
Yeah, that book has been closed. You're right. Puljujärvi could still be writing some chapters, but I just think when you look at it, Yakupov, it was a weak draft and everyone knew it. Puljujärvi got more hype than Yakupov because he was that Finnish team. You called those games, man. It was him and Aho and Laine, one of the great lines in World Juniors history.
You're right, but Ray, like, you're front and center in those games and you're seeing him. But you also watched a ton of Edmonton play, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Like, there were nights for Puljujärvi, the game, he looked lost out there. Like, he didn't know where to be. It looked like his stick was too long for him. He looked like he was late on plays, couldn't win physical battles, even though he's a big body. Like, there were so many things where I thought, his details are so poor at this level that there's no reason for him to be there. He had to be at the AHL level to learn the North American game and then grow his game at that level so he can get to the next level. That's on Edmonton, but it's also on the player, like, thinking that he should be immediately a top six forward because of what he did in the World Juniors.
Well, but see, this is where I think, and it's spilled milk now because it's a new organization and a new regime, but they shouldn't have put him in the AHL, in my opinion. The first year, he should have been in Finland. He should have played. He comes from a little place in the north of Finland. He doesn't speak any English. I got an idea. How about move him to a bigger city in Finland? See if you can work a deal that he can play in Helsinki. He learns to live in a bigger city. You tell him, look, part of this is that you're taking English lessons because when you come over next year, you're going to, you know, this will be your next step. And then that second year, you play him for a lot of the year in the American League. So he's transitioned from, you know, the north of Finland with no English to a big city. You learn to live in a city that's closer to a North American city. You learn a little bit of English, and then you come over and you play in the American League, and then you call him up a few times to give him some games, give him a taste. And then last year, the expectation on him would have been so low because he would have just been in his first year, not his third. Because when you're in your third year, people look at you funny. And they're like, oh, this guy can't play. And I did one game later in the year there, and I'm not even exaggerating this. He started the game on McDavid's line. He got a pass about 7 or 8 feet short of the red line, moving up the ice, and he iced it. Like, he wasn't even close. It was like a kid that had never played before. And McDavid came off the ice, and, you know, he doesn't say anything. Like, McDavid doesn't say anything. He doesn't really show much frustration. And I'm standing right between the benches, and the look on his face was one that we all would have had. Like, what the heck was that? Like, what was he thinking? And two shifts into playing on McDavid's line, he was, he got Hitch moved him down the chain, and it was a wasted night for him again. There's been too many wasted nights for this kid.
And to jump on that, Ray, then people would be complaining, well, you're only playing him 7 minutes, you're only playing him 8 minutes. Well, you can't put him out there. Like, that's...
A seven-foot icing means he can't put him on the ice. Seven-foot icing.
It was not even... Like, when he... It wasn't even like it was a... Oh, he tried to bump pass it to a guy up the board, you know, cutting across, and he misread the angle. Like, he just got it and iced it.
That's not going to fly. Like,
That's just... And so, while it is true that, you know, players are younger and you've got to help develop them, it's not... You can't have guys with training wheels on.
Right.
And that, like, you don't even have a chance. Never mind winning. You don't have a chance. And so when I look at Puljujärvi and now he's asking for a trade, like, I don't know if he thinks, like, the genie will be out of the bottle if he goes to a new city and he'll be able to play and he'll be able to produce. And it's still the same league. It's still bloody hard. You're just going to have a new jersey on. That's
well,
it.
Exactly.
I think he should be more patient. I don't think this is you've got a new coach. You've got a new manager. You're on a team that's dying for wingers. Like, they're dying for wingers. And you want out. To me, it's a young, I hate to use this word, but it's an immature look.
Yeah.
You know, to say, I got to get out of here. It's going to be better somewhere else. It might not be.
Well, that leads us to a guy who's on the opposite end of a career, and that's Corey Perry, who is MVP. He's won gold medals with Canada. He's done it all, and he got bought out today. What kind of market do you expect for Corey Perry?
I think it'll be surprisingly robust. I think you're looking at a player that it's, you know, around $2 million. Just look at the guys around the league that make $2 million and just go, can those guys score 15 goals? Like, almost a guarantee. The answer is no for a lot of them. And I think Perry can score 15 goals. I mean, if you need him to win a skating race to save your life, you're dead, right?
Yeah.
He's not going to win the race. But he's a rat. He knows how to score. He can still compete. He still wants to play. Like, all those things matter because his skills are diminished. If he is just looking for a payday, then you move on to the next guy. I think on a team that is a good team that you can play him, and he's got to be willing to accept a much smaller 12 to 15-minute type deal. If he's willing to do that, I think he can score 15 goals. He'll score on the power play. You play him with some stronger guys that when they get in the zone, they can – heck, he's not slower than Patrick Maroon.
Right.
Patrick Maroon was a very effective player for St. Louis, and I think Corey Perry can be that too.
Plus, you all add into the fact that, like, a little bit of embarrassment being bought out. Like, I think he's going to have a chip on his shoulder. Like, he came back from that injury last year, and I thought he played all right. But you could tell at that price point, you're just not living up to the contract. But when you're getting a player like that for pennies on the dollar, I think he'll get you 15, but he's going to have that chip on his shoulder. Like he's going to have something to prove. And I think he would be a fantastic ad for some of these teams that need a little push. Like, I'm not suggesting the Leafs, but I could see Edmonton taking a run at him. You know, a veteran guy, maybe help McDavid a little bit. I don't think he's going to play with McDavid, but could he be net front on the power play in Edmonton? I think so.
Well, Alex Chiasson did it last year and worked his way to 20 goals.
Exactly.
Now, we saw Perry play shortly after he returned. It was a game in Toronto, and, man, he struggled. Like,
yeah.
It was too fast for him. But he just got back. The problem is, and unfortunately I know this, is the older you get and the more invasive the surgery is, sometimes, they all send this release out. It's a successful surgery, which means the guy's leg didn't fall off on the table.
Right.
But it doesn't mean that you're getting to 100%. Each time that you're injured, you don't quite get back to what you were.
Yeah.
And at 34 years old, he had a major, major surgery. And it will take him, now he's got, he had whatever he played last year, number of games, plus he's got a whole summer. The team that signs him is going to want to run him through a pretty rigorous physical, and they'll have a good idea what he can do. Can he play 65 games for you? You give him some back-to-backs off. If he can do that, I'm telling you, I'd be interested.
With Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst, Noodles and I, we got into this in the 4 p.m. hour, And there were so many names, we couldn't even get to the Western Conference. But we'll revisit the East. Yeah. And we brought this up because of Mitch Marner and everyone in Toronto. There's so much anxiety here about what's going to happen with Marner and what he wants and what the Leafs are willing to do. And we're taking the contract out of it. But we posed the question, simply forwards, because it gets too complicated when you add defense and goaltending because of the complexities of those positions and how different they are. Forwards you would take over Mitch Marner for the next 8 years. You can sign an 8-year deal, an 8-year max. We won't go through the whole list. We'll just go through the guys that Noodles and I kind of were wavering on. And you give us your take. Would you take Marner or this other player? Again, salary cap doesn't matter. It's simply the player for the next 8 years. Let's pretend the cap doesn't count. Age does count, though. Marner or Evgeny Kuznetsov?
Oh, Marner.
Yeah, we both took Marner because of age. Marner or Pasternak?
Yeah, I think Pasternak's amazing.
I thought it was a coin flip. I took Pasternak too, but it was very close. Yeah. Like that's
a hard one.
I leaned Marner. Now, listen, he played with Tavares. He had a great line mate too, but Pasternak's had the best line mates in the league.
Bergeron and Marchand.
But he's a great player. That's how close it is. Marner for the next 8 years or Matthew Barzal?
Oh, Marner.
Yeah, I'd take Marner, but Barzal, man, he's shifty.
I think I leaned Barzal, but I was close. Like, I think, center ice position, but Barzal is just as crafty. And I want to say that I think Barry Trotz may have helped Barzal kind of play a little bit more responsible, so he may have left some points on the table there,
too. Well, but here's the thing. Marner can kill penalties. Barzal doesn't.
And I actually made that point, too.
Yep.
So.
Yeah, they're both going to be terrific on the power play. They're both going to do their thing at 5-on-5. That's kind of a little bit of a swing vote for me there for Marner.
Mitch Marner or Jack Eichel?
Well, I want to see Eichel in a year. I want to see if there's... And the reason I say that, guys, is like... The first three games of the World Championships, he could have played with his suit on underneath him and not got it wet. And then I don't know what the hell happened, and all of a sudden you're like, oh, my God, he's fantastic for the rest of the tournament. It wasn't even close. It was like a new Jack Eichel came and started to play. And that Jack Eichel, I really like. Big, he was physical, he skated, he shot the puck. He's, I would take Eichel because, I have... It's some positional bias, I think, but it would be the things that he hasn't clicked in yet with concern me.
Yeah,
like if I were to take Eichel, that concerns me a bit.
Marner's been much more consistent, but I agree with you. I'll take the size, I'll take the position. I think he can score more than Marner.
I took Eichel, but I've been an Eichel fan since.
But they're both close, same age.
Yeah.
And Eichel gets hurt, the team he plays on hasn't helped them.
Exactly.
Marner's had help.
Yeah.
You got to remember that.
Exactly.
Final one here. Next 8 years, Mitch Marner or Taylor Hall?
Marner.
Yeah, I took Marner too. Again, age.
I think age would spin it for me.
I gave the JFJ.
Okay, here's one, Marner or Nate MacKinnon.
Oh, MacKinnon all day.
I was just—I thought that was going to be one of them, and I was like, I wonder.
Well, that's in the West. That's what I'm saying. We didn't get would you take Marner or Rantanen for the next 8 years?
I still, as a little guy, can't look past the size thing and go, Rantanen is a giant.
Right. Same.
Like he's and so I can't quite get by that. And none of this means that
they're all great players.
If you stuck me with the other one, I'd be fine. I'll tell you, I'll take Mitch Marner over $50 million of Kevin Hayes.
Well, no kidding.
Yeah, we were talking about
I mean, and that's what we're trying to get to. We actually wanted to talk about the player because, everything's – you got to get the calculator out and everything's about offer sheets and RFA and leverage and who do you compare it to. And, I was thinking about it today. I'm like, let's just come up with a list of 15 or 20 guys in the league. And he's in these categories.
Right, and you
he's
can
a
argue,
great player.
And then you can start to argue, well, that guy signed 3 years ago, or this guy. But it's the
calculator. Let's talk about hockey.
Yeah,
here.
Let's talk about the actual players. And Marner's in those.
He's a great player. I love him. I would be so rattled if he's not here next year, or he doesn't play a long time in Toronto. I think he deserves that. The team does. The fan base does. But
you know who's rattled? As you say, being rattled. How could the management staff not be rattled?
Right.
I mean, you're into this last week here before July 1st. They've got to be nervous. How could you not be? How could you not?
They know.
Because now if you can't get the deal done, if it won't be done, the rest of it's out of your control. And that would be tough.
You have to take care of business, because at some point, Kapanen and Janssen are going to call you. Maybe Ron Hainsey. Yeah. Maybe a backup goalie, because by all accounts, you know, Garrett Sparks is not a part of the future here. There's a lot that has to be done. Yeah. And yes, ideally you'd like to get Mitch Marner done, but it takes two to tango. And if Marner's not interested or isn't willing to take the final offer you put on the table today, he might in a month. And for the next month, there's not much you can do if you're Toronto.
Nope, you sit and you keep trying to bang away at it, but man, it would be tough.
Oh man, I'll bet you they can't believe they're flying to Vancouver. They're in Vancouver probably now.
They're here. I saw a bunch of them last night.
Yeah.
Just say one of these days Dubas is going to show up for a press conference with gray hair, and you're going to go, when did that happen?
No kidding.
Yeah.
No kidding.
You see it on coaches all the time. Nice jet black hair at the start of the season, and they either have no hair left or it's white at the end of the season.
And you're like, wow, that was fast. Their power play must really suck.
Exactly.
All right, buddy. We'll do it again tomorrow at 5.
Have a great day, guys. See ya.
There's Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Yeah,
we got to get to the West later, because you're right. Like, we got to bring up names like Rantanen, Goudreau, Stone,
Scheifele.
Like, there's some
Draisaitl. I mean, everyone's taken McDavid, clearly.
Well, but there's some fantastic players on both sides. Yeah. And you know,
and we're just talking about the player.
Debate.
And these are all players that everyone would love to have. There's no one on this list where you're like, well, I don't really like that guy.
No.
All of them are great players.
Exactly.
And Mitch Marner has played himself into this category, and he deserves the love and the adulation that he gets. He's a great player. And I thought it was important. I'm like, let's talk about hockey here, as opposed to every single time he comes up. It's like, well, what number should it be? What term should it be?
But then you also judge the player on how much he makes.
Well, absolutely.
Part of it, and it's only natural. Like you say, David Pastrnak, I was like 6.7. That's all I think about.
At that number, clearly.
Right, but we're not even looking at that. Like, but that's what you default to.
Right.
Like, that's what it is. Instead of just going, like, the minute you say Kevin Hayes now, you're going to be like, that guy's overpaid, makes $7 million.
Yep.
And what is he going to do for $7 million? If he puts up 18 goals this year, people are going to be like, what the hell is this guy doing? If he scores 30 and settles in, and let's not forget, he played under AV. Like, Vigneault knows him and obviously trusts him and probably went to bat for him.
Well, and it will help, too, if his team wins.
Exactly.
That goes a long way.
If Philly wins, people
will be like, okay, I can deal with that.
Yeah, but now all you're thinking about is what that guy makes instead of what he's doing. That's what it is.
That's what comes with a business model.
Yeah.
Jerry's percentages coming up. Jerry's emailed in a bunch of takes, so we will place percentages on his takes. We got Darren Dreger, a hockey insider, coming up later this afternoon. Steve Phillips on the Stroman postgame comments. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 4.
You're going to want to hear this.
Jerry's percentages.
I don't love being commissioner as much as I used to. I actually love it even more.
That's the voice of a
Hall of Famer.
Are you kidding? Have you been out drinking?
You're all pigeons. Filthy, filthy pigeons.
It's Jerry. G-E-R-R-Y.
All right, Jerry's Percentages is brought to you by our friends at BPC, Best Portuguese Chicken, from 2 people to 300. Let BPC, Best Portuguese Chicken, do the cooking. Head on down to 942 on the Queensway or online at bestpc.ca. I was on the phone with my dad yesterday, and he drove past Best Portuguese Chicken.
Did he stop in?
He gave it a double honk. He said, hey, Best Portuguese Chicken. I'm like, all right.
We got to get some in here.
It's the best. Best Portuguese chicken going. All right, so Jerry is in transit, I believe.
Yeah, flying out to Vancouver as we speak.
Right. Ideally, we'd get him on the mic and he'd come out with some sort of a statement. But every once in a while, that's just not possible.
Nope.
He's in transit today, so he emailed in his takes.
All right.
Gmail.
Jerry Mail@gmail.com.
So we'll continue to put percentages on it. Corey Perry will sign at least a 3-year deal with his next team.
Oh, I'm 18%. I'm low on that. I think three's rich. At 34 with a lot of mileage, I think what they may do, a team may say, we'll give you two and a little bit extra money. Three is rich. Because that third, like that's the Marlowe deal.
I know, but Marlowe got it. Now he was healthy.
Right.
But he was also older. And Marlowe got his third year. I'm low on it, but I'm not. I kind of think as it gets going, well, I think more teams are going to get in on this than people think. And then you get a team that's like, why not just give him the third year to get him? You know what I mean? If that's what he wants, if he wants security in term. He may not.
Okay. I've got to retract that in a sec. Because if it's 3 years, 1.5.
Right. That's a great deal.
It's a throwaway. And that last year, you can make him go away. You can waive him and put him in the minors.
Yeah.
Eat that money.
He's under 35, so it's not going to be on your cap for
right.
sure.
Like that's the money has to be interest has to be
well, and you can load
about.
It up, and that can be lockout proof. A team with money can be like, listen, we'll throw in the third guaranteed signing bonus, like the Leafs did. You know,
yeah.
like if a team really wants him, I don't think the third year is going to be the problem.
So 3 years.
I'll say 35%.
I'm 18%. I think it's a 2 year deal at 2.5 a year. Or
yeah,
something
which
like
I
that.
Think well, it's worth a shot for a guy like that.
Yeah, I agree. Like
it's
I
worth
agree
a
with
shot.
Ray and 15 goals for a guy probably is going to make 2.5. Like
and he's going to grit grind for you, and he'll
yeah.
you know exactly who he is.
Exactly.
He screams load management too.
Yeah, yeah.
That should be the guy where you're like, you're going to play 55 games.
Yeah.
No back-to-backs. We're going to take care of you. We believe we're a playoff team, and we want the payoff to be in the spring.
Right.
That makes a lot of sense.
And he's a winner, too. This guy's won everything.
He's won World. He was on that 05 World Junior team.
Right.
Which might be the greatest team of all time. That was with Sid and Bergeron and all those guys.
Yeah.
He's won World Junior. He won a Mem Cup in London, I believe.
Yes.
I think he's won a Memorial Cup or World Junior. World Championship, definitely gold medals. He was on in 2010
Olympics,
and 2014.
Olympics and Stanley Cup.
And a cup. And an MVP.
Yeah, and a heart. This guy is trophy.
What a resume for him.
It is ridiculous.
And he was in that 03 draft.
Yeah.
The famous 03 draft.
It is ridiculous. And the business side is out of the way now. He's bought out. There will be.
I just wonder what he wants. I wonder what he wants. Like, does he want to play in a Canadian city like Marlowe did? I could see that. And he's a Southern Ontario kid. I'm not saying the Leafs, but Montreal's got some room.
Yeah.
I could see Montreal being... Now, they got guys that are kind of like him, and Shaw, and Gallagher's not exactly like him, but I could see Montreal. I could see Edmonton, like you pointed out.
I thought, just linking him to Edmonton, the Oilers have no wingers. And not suggesting he's going to play every night, and he's certainly not going to play with McDavid, but there would be times that you could spot duty him in certain situations where maybe he's going that night or you're feeling good about it. It would be worth the risk if you could get him on a short-term deal for not a lot of money, because the Oilers don't have any money to spend.
Right. All right, here we go. Jerry, he even writes this in the email, is basking in the anxiety of Maple Leaf fans right now. And he said, chew on this one, on this hot take.
All right.
At least one of Mitch Marner, Nazem Kadri, Kasperi Kapanen, or Andreas Janssen will not be back next season.
I'm high on this. I'm not trying to be negative.
No, it's the reality of the cap era.
It's the reality of the cap era. It's those guys. Like, Naz, to me, scares me if you're a Leaf fan, because he's attractive and he's cost certainty.
And a position of need for a lot of teams.
Exactly.
Like, look at what Kevin Hayes just got.
Right.
I think Kadri's better, but they're in a similar world. And he's at 4.5.
Yeah, 4.5.
For three more years. So, yes,
That's what scares me, is that that's your bargaining chip. If there's a defenseman out there that Kyle likes with term or something, like, maybe there's a fit.
I hope that doesn't happen. I would come back with the band up the middle again, because it just didn't really work for you last year. But
I'm going to
can't be naive here.
I'm 71%, because now if they end up keeping the same band together, it's just maybe it's finances for one or the other.
Well,
maybe,
that's the reality.
Maybe there's an offer sheet for
Mitch Marner. But let's say Marner holds on and they go, fine, we have to give you 11.
Yeah.
and they were hoping at 9-5.
Right.
Then they might have to turn the page and say, Kapanen, we can't even give you 2-7-5.
Right.
Let alone the 3.5 or 4 you're looking for.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty high on this too. What did you say? 70?
71%.
I'll say 70%, just underneath. Okay. I think ideally, clearly, you want them all back.
Well,
I would
want
them all back.
So would I.
That's not you're not living in a perfect world. You're living in a cap world.
The cap world, yep.
As we know, Jerry down in Vegas, and he emails in claiming that he is laying big money on all of the under bets for the Blue Jays because he is claiming, and I don't think this is much of a hot take, the Jays will win less than 60 games this season.
You told me yesterday, you're like, I think they're getting 56 or something. Didn't you say 56?
I'm going to say 90%. I think they're going to get worse, not better.
If they keep pitching, what's his name?
They get Edwin Jackson out there. Now he's on the injured list. But, like, Stroman's been very good for him. He's got, like, a 3.23 ERA. Yeah. The run support hasn't been there for him. But I think he's going. And based on what he said last night, I think he knows he's going. I think Giles is going. I think Sanchez might, although his numbers haven't been great anyway. Smoke is on the injured list, but I think if he's healthy and they can get a price, they'll move on from him.
You're 90%?
I'm 90%. I think they're losing 100 games.
I'll say 68%. I want to try and give them a little bit of hope.
Well, at this point, though, you might as well bottom out and get the best pick possible.
No, I know, but you get...
Like now, lose every game.
You may get a heater from a couple of the hitters.
Maybe. But I feel bad for Charlie Montoyo. This is a guy who's been waiting his whole life. Compare and contrast Nick Nurse to Charlie Montoyo.
Yeah.
And you're going to see a lot of comparisons.
Lifer coach.
Lifers. Guys who, you know, played. Now, Montoyo made it to the majors, but cup of coffee. Nurse played in college, but was never going to have a pro career. And then just grinded it out to make it. Nurse walks into a championship caliber team, and Montoyo walks into this.
Yeah.
And I feel for the guy.
And he's got to lie about.
He's got to say the right thing every day.
But he's got to lie about Vladdy. Vladdy needs a little work in the, like, you know, they've.
He's got to appease the front office because they hired him.
Yeah.
He's got to make sure that the players are in line, but also feeling like they've got, you know, some positive spirits going on, even though they're losing a lot of ball games. It's a tough spot for him.
Agreed.
The next Jerry's here. Jerry even admitting the Kevin Hayes deal in Philly is a monstrosity. His word, not mine.
Yeah.
And he said, Matt Duchene is licking his chops, who's also a unrestricted free agent. Jerry is claiming Matt Duchene will sign for a minimum $10 million per year.
I'm low on this. I think he gets something with a 9 in it. I think he can get 9. 10 is rich.
He just shouldn't age. Get 10. He
just
shouldn't.
Age. Just age.
Right.
Too. Like, you have to take that.
He shouldn't. And the player. He's not a $10 million player.
No, he's...
But if Hayes is a 7.14, you get a desperate team in a bidding war.
But
like, would Columbus give him 10? You think Columbus would give him 10 to keep him?
Potentially. I
think they might.
It could be something with, like... Something with a 9 in it is quite rich, but Skinner got it. Like, there's players that have gotten it, and... You know, you can't just go, well, Erik Karlsson got 11.5. That's going to drag everyone else up. Erik Karlsson's a special, special player. Like, there have been times where Erik Karlsson, when he's at the top of his game, he's potentially a top 5 player in the world.
Oh, more than that.
Okay, but
like,
I'm saying.
Like, I hear you. But like,
Crosby, McDavid,
3 years ago, he was the third best player in the world, I think.
Yeah.
After Crosby and McDavid.
You're
after
right.
After they went to the conference final,
that
he
playoff
was the third
run,
best player
he
in the
was
world.
Incredible.
Yes.
He puts up points. He drives possession. Like, he does everything.
Yep.
Can he stay healthy? Can all of that? That'll shake out. But
Duchene at $10 million.
Duchene doesn't reek of, like.
No, he doesn't have that power.
Now, he may be. I think he's a 1A centerman in the league. I think he's on a really good team. He's a second centerman. On a team that's average, he's a 1.
But that's the team that'll give him 10.
Right.
The team that really needs him. I don't think he's getting it, but I don't think it's impossible to believe. I'll say 30%.
I'm low on this. I'm 17%, but you're right. Bidding war for him, there you go.
And desperation, right?
Yep.
Final Jerry's. The Lakers made a big splash. Now they have LeBron James and Anthony Davis. Jerry is stating they will get a third star before the beginning of next season.
Did I read yesterday they're trying to free up that that spot for
a max deal? They're working every angle they possibly can to give Kyrie Irving the money, Kemba Walker the money, I guess Kawhi Leonard.
I think they're going to do it. I think they're going to add somebody. They'll be creative to do it, but then they may have nothing after that.
That's my read on the situation. I'm with you. I think now that you got Davis, too, it becomes that much more.
You double down.
Well, yeah, and I think if your other teams, you're like, or your other players, it was one thing just LeBron. Now it's LeBron and Anthony Davis.
Right.
Now the Lakers truly are on the upswing, so, and you can jump on board with that.
Now, you think Kyrie would be a nice three there?
Yes. I think he'd fit in pretty well with those two guys. I'm high on this. I'll say 80%.
Who would you rather
Chris
have?
Paul. Oh, I would take Kyrie over Chris Paul just because of their age.
Age, right.
You know, 5 years ago, I would have taken Chris Paul for that scenario.
Right.
Kyrie Irving can shoot. He's a scorer. They're going to need guys who can shoot.
I keep coming back to Kyrie talking about how he called LeBron looking for advice on how to deal with young players. And he's, what, 27?
Yeah, exactly. He's not some grizzled vet in his late 30s.
That may have mended some fences. Him going to the other side, thinking that the grass is going to be greener and going, yeah, I might want to hitch my wagon back to LeBron again. That's possible.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I'm
high on that.
What did you say?
80%.
I'll say 91%.
There you go. All right, Jerry's. Thank you for the email. jerrymail@gmail.com. It's a rarity, but it happens every once in a while. Jerry's in transit. He's a busy guy.
He is.
Darren Dreger, Hockey Insider. There's some news out there in terms of Roberto Luongo, Alex Edler in Vancouver. We'll tell you about that. We'll catch up with Dregs and Steve Phillips on the Jays and where they're at moving forward. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 4. All right, Darren Dreger, our Hockey Insider, will join us in about 15 minutes. I don't know if Dregs is in Vegas or Vancouver or is still in Toronto. I don't know where he is. Guess we'll find out when he comes on.
He must be in Vegas.
He's in Vancouver. The Grappler's saying he's in Vancouver. Vegas is, that's where you got to get. If you can do the Vegas-Vancouver tour, that would be outstanding.
Exactly.
So we'll get into a number of things with him. We've been talking a lot about hockey today because of what's been going on. There's a lot of news out there. Frank Saravelli reporting that Roberto Luongo is going to give some sort of an answer to the Florida Panthers. That's the expectation in the next 2 or 3 days. On whether or not he's going to play or not. Retire, I guess, is a possibility, but he's got money in term. I mean, that's exactly. Tough to see happen, really.
Yep.
And it sounds like Alex Edler is going to get a 3-year deal in Vancouver. He's been fighting for that third year, and it sounds like he's going to get it.
We got to give it to him unless, like I say, if there was expansion ramifications, that's one thing you've got to guard against. Because if you had to protect him, if he had a no move, then you could lose somebody else.
Right.
And they've got to be smart with that.
Well, I found it funny today. There was a big deal in the NBA where Mike Conley was traded finally, because Conley's been in rumors. Remember, he was in that Kyle Lowry rumor when they traded for Marc Gasol. A lot of people thought it would be a package deal, Gasol and Conley, and obviously lucky that that didn't end up happening.
Yeah.
But Conley got traded to Utah, and he eventually revised the tweet, but he ended the tweet by saying, thanks, and I'm really looking forward to getting to the city of Utah. And I guess people are like, it's actually the state, you know.
Yeah.
It's actually Salt Lake City, but
it happens.
It happens.
Exactly.
You know? Utah, we've had these discussions before. Utah is one of those random states that happens to exist. If you're from there, clearly, I'm sure you're very proud of the state, but
right.
It just isn't one that a lot of people resonate with.
No.
You know? So thank you to the city of Utah for acquiring me via trade. I look forward to getting there. That's Mike Conley. So Darren Dreger coming up. Steve Phillips will join us in the next hour on the postgame comments from Marcus Stroman. There's a lot going on here in the hockey world, in the NBA world.
Absolutely.
We caught up with Nick Nurse earlier. It was great to chat with him. You can find that podcast online on tsn1050.ca and subscribe and check us out on iTunes as well. Brian Hayes, Jamie Noodles, McLennan, final hour coming up. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 on the TSN app and up on TSN 4.